Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with your host, I'm Luke Mathers. Happy Monday afternoon, everybody out there in the listening audience. You're listening to this program across the Civic Media Network here in Madison. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. You're also listening to the program across the state in Waukesha on the Shaw, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, and radio from the center in Richland Center. If you want to join the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. And I am joined this afternoon by William Walter. Will, how you doing?
I am doing really, really well, Luke. It is another beautiful Monday, as expected, as we knew I was going to be on coming into the week. We knew that the weather would cooperate accordingly. So I'm just happy to be here. What's up, party people?
Yeah, and we're glad that you're able to take some time out of your Monday afternoon to join us here on the airwaves. We got Evan on the production board. We want to thank Evan for all the hard work, making sure those ones and twos go out over the airwaves. Again, the number to call if you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. It's a pretty overcast day, Will. I don't know. You're a little bringing it in around 50% here in Madison.
It's looking pretty nice outside my window. That's all I can say. Maybe it just follows me around. That's what it really is.
Maybe that's what it is. Well, we appreciate you joining me because there's a lot to talk about. Over the last couple of days off, we had the weekend. It was Bears-Packer weekend. It was big sports weekend. If you were enjoying any of those sports, I know it was tough to watch the World Cup. The U.S. men's team lost to the Netherlands 3-1, but the Bears lost as well to the Packers. It was Bears-Packer week, 28-19.
Death, taxes, and Aaron Rodgers beating the Bears. It doesn't matter what the Packers are doing that year.
See,
like, Rodgers can't lose to the Bears. It's just not possible.
I'm a little over Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to lie about that. But Christian Watson, a lot of fun to watch. Apparently tied Deshaun Watson for the fastest top speed hit by any wide receiver this season when he did
Deshaun
his Jets.
Watson?
Yeah, or excuse me, Deshaun Jackson. Different Deshaun.
Okay.
Different Deshaun Watson also did play for the first time in all year with
700 something days. Yeah, he didn't play all of last year.
700 too. Exactly. Yeah. But Deshaun Jackson set the top speed earlier this season for a wide receiver, and Christian Watson tied that speed with his jet sweep run against the Bears to get that final nail in the coffin TD. But outside of all sports, there's a lot of politics to talk about as well, Will. And the growing trend to discuss is right-wing extremism using violence. But apparently, national outlets and outlets even locally are having a hard time calling it what it is. And that's domestic terrorism, Will. A lot of these outlets referred to it as severe vandalism. A substation was shot up in North Carolina to the point where thousands of people are without power here.
40,000 customers lost power over the weekend.
Yes, and that's in North Carolina, where...
Moore County, North Carolina, yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's because at least one or two members of a right-wing militia group decided to shoot up that substation and eliminate power for a community over... It's the next step with this right-wing rhetoric that is being exposed, specifically around, I believe it was a drag show... That's all it is. It's a drag show.
Correct.
Is equating these individuals going and committing domestic terrorism. But I think it's important to point out, Will, Wisconsin was essentially ground zero for a lot of this as well. We didn't have any power substations shot up like this. But if you recall, last May, an entire village was shut down here in Wisconsin. Keel, Wisconsin, was effectively immobilized for the long Memorial Day weekend when bomb threats were coming in against the school district, the libraries, municipal buildings in general, the roads, banks, the entire village shut down because of bomb threats coming in, drummed up around the right-wing hate of a student in Kiel just asking to be identified by the correct pronouns and three eighth-grade boys refusing to acknowledge those pronouns. And so Wisconsin was ground zero. We are seeing this around the country, Will. And what are you thinking about why more people aren't calling it what it is and calling it domestic terrorism?
Well, the Kiel story is so interesting because, you know, small town Wisconsin is kind of the stereotypical off in the middle of nowhere type place where a lot of I think a lot of other Americans might consider it essentially what's the place from the Wizard of Oz or like a Narnia or something, you know, like it's so far away, out of sight, out of mind. That's a different mindset, different place. We don't have to worry about that. But this we're seeing that if it can happen in Wisconsin, it can happen in North Carolina. And if it can happen in North Carolina, it can happen in your hometown. And in the North Carolina situation, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commissioner, John Wellinghoff, explained that this was not just, a couple of lone wolves making a decision to go after this substation. It was, his exact quote was, somebody with a high-powered rifle put bullets through the case of the transformer. Once it goes into the case, it hits the coils, shorts it out, and it's gone. That device is no longer operable. It can't be fixed. It needs to be replaced. It cannot be repaired. This is stochastic terrorism, right? Like you mentioned from the get-go, everybody that's a lot of news media outlets are just saying, oh, vandalism, vandalism, kind of minimizing the severity of these situations because, you know, I don't know if it's that the police, the powers that be, don't want to deal with these right-wing terrorists because they're afraid for their own safety, or if there is a darker, larger, behind-the-scenes villain kind of orchestrating a lot of these behavior that is allowing it to go on without repercussions. But, you know, compare that to the protests of 2020, which were 93-94% nonviolent, and the national news coverage that was painting it as our cities are burning to the ground, Minneapolis is on fire, Kenosha's on fire, you know, these left-wing terrorists are literally burning everything to the ground. And that just was not the case compared to this situation in North Carolina, where they quite literally attacked two power substations, cutting power for almost 40,000 residents who are now have spent the last 3-4 days in 29 degree weather for hours at a time because they don't have energy.
And it is an act of
dangerous.
It's an act of domestic terrorism because of this is the result of a community having a drag brunch or some kind of drag show. And the message here by these individuals is if you have those types of events, you don't get power. And we're not talking about a town of 4,000 because Kiel was small. Like you said, it was more of an isolated incident, but Wisconsin seems to be a testing ground for some of these ideas where the right wing gets away with immobilizing the town of 4,000 people over a Title IX investigation into students using the correct pronouns for another student. And that case gets dropped, that investigation gets dropped, so it was successful. Those bomb threats in Kiel, Wisconsin worked. And that is a sign for...
That's the lesson to take from this, yeah.
They're emboldened.
If it works, they're going to keep doing it.
Exactly. And so the message here from this right-wing group in North Carolina is that if you try to have drag shows, you don't get power. Your hospitals, your homes, the community doesn't get power because we are so aggrieved that a drag show went on that we're going to shoot up a substation. But North Carolina, Will, is not the only place where this happened over the weekend. Reading from an article over at Vice News, the far right attacked four different attacked drag events in four different states over this past weekend. So this is not an isolated event. These people are being
emboldened. And the one in Ohio
emboldened.
Was being held by a church, by the way. The Unitarian Church was forced to cancel a planned Drag Queen Story Hour event when nearly 50 Proud Boys showed up wearing tactical gear, faces covered in masks, all that kind of stuff, ski goggles, you know.
And have you seen some of these videos on social media of these guys walking up and down the streets in these cases?
It genuinely looks like something from a Hollywood film of, you know, they're essentially trying to mimic some kind of like army. Like they
the
think
Wolverines.
They think
it's Red Dawn. Yeah. It's disturbing how emboldened these actors are, and they're organizing. But if you want to brush the right wing rhetoric that is drumming these people up under the rug, these are the ramifications that we're going to see from those viewpoints being emboldened on social media and not being talked about and held accountable for their actions. When people are able to call in bomb threats to stop a Title IX investigation here in Kiel, or people are able to use force and violence, as in North Carolina, to shut down power, that is terrorism. And it needs to be called out and it needs to be discussed, because the fact of the matter is this will only get worse, Will. We are only going to see more. 4 cases around the country this weekend.
Just this weekend, yeah. Well, can you imagine if this was some kind of left-wing protest, if this was a BLM protest and they attacked a substation like
that? 2 statues got torn down on State Street and people lost their minds. And now a community in North Carolina of 40,000 people is without power. And it's not even getting the headlines that I think it deserves, because they're not calling it terrorism. They're calling it vandalism.
And something we've talked about in the past, Luke, that I think has to be brought up in this situation is, it's not that nobody is talking about it in the same sense that, the statues were covered nationally. Like, supposedly left-leaning media, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, these national outlets haven't touched on it either. They're not calling it terrorism either. This is not, you know, I think this is kind of the perfect example of how mainstream media across the nation has two different sets of standards based on who's committing these acts of terror and how aggressively they're going to cover it based on who the perpetrators are.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. William Walter joining me for this Monday afternoon. We're going to continue the conversation here because we now have a definition of what woke is. And we got some Wisconsin headlines that we're going to share with you as well from over the weekend. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. We're going to be back after a quick break. Stay tuned.
Make sure those ones and zeros are working.
Ones and twos. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. If you want to join the show, share your tangent with me today, 844-967-2789, joined by William Walter this Monday afternoon, Brian Kelly getting a little well-deserved R&R for the next couple of days, and Will, it's pretty interesting to hear not only these stories around the nation not be referred to as domestic terrorism in the appropriate lens to report on these stories, we're also finding out now that woke may have an official definition, at least legally, in the state of Florida. And you brought this one to my attention. I kind of grazed over it over the weekends. Again, trying not to give a whole lot of attention to the governor down there in Florida. But he's in a legal suit right now, and that legal suit is asking Governor DeSantis to define what he means by woke, because woke has become kind of this generalized term that people in the Make America Great Again movement, Republicans in general, conservatives, use to rally against. They rally against the wokeness.
They're so good at it. The right wing is so good at taking phrases that originally mean one thing and vilifying it into an over-encompassing term that essentially means anything that we don't like, anything we disagree with, anything that we can use as an insult to immediately dismiss the arguments that you're making. They're so damn good at it.
Yeah, they're terrible at governing. But they're very good at attempting to own the libs. That's what their whole game plan is most of the time, and they've used woke to really lead that charge, removing wokeness and eliminating wokeness. And so you found this article. So let's share with the people, Will, what Governor DeSantis views the actual definition of woke.
So for a little backstory, Ron DeSantis recently suspended the Hillsborough County State Attorney Andrew Warren because he was too progressive, and you know Ronnie doesn't want anybody who's not part of his right wing cabal to represent his state in any way, shape, or form. Of course, this went to trial, and during the 3-day trial this week, attorneys for Warren were able to put the question to DeSantis aides, asking essentially, "What does woke mean?" As DeSantis called Florida the place where, quote, woke goes to die. And they accused Warren as being a woke ideologue masquerading as a prosecutor, which is why he was suspended, obviously.
Do you think that is the new slogan, kind of like on the signs when you enter the state of Florida? Just like, welcome to Florida, where woke goes to die.
They want all those like 60 and 70 year old boomers.
They're
that
moving
are
there
going
already.
Down there with vacation they're
homes
to see
that
and be like,
there.
Yes. This is my heaven. Thank you. This is the Garden of Eden. I've just been looking for somewhere for woke to die. So essentially, DeSantis's communication director went on to explain that woke was a slang term for activism or progressive activism, a general belief that systemic injustices exist. Well, DeSantis's general counsel actually took it a step further. Ryan Newman, when asked to define what woke means, said that it would be, quote, a belief that there are systemic injustices in American society and the need to address them. So they are essentially admitting that being woke means that we recognize that America has problems and we want to fix them. Therefore, the counter woke movement that DeSantis and the Republican Party is supporting is essentially, the status quo is great. America is perfect. There's nothing to fix. Rah, rah, rah. Anybody who's trying to make any difference
or
in a positive way is a bad person.
You could define it as, if you're anti-woke, you're all for sweeping those injustices under the rug. You acknowledge those injustices because that's what they're saying the definition of woke is, but you're totally fine with not fixing them. That's what anti-woke would be, too, if you wanted to read the definition slightly in a different way. But it is pretty telling that is now in the legal proceedings down in the state of Florida, because DeSantis's general counsel had to define woke, and that is what they said.
He also added that, to me, it means someone who believes that there are systemic injustices in the criminal justice system, and on that basis, they can decline to fully enforce or uphold the law when referring to the prosecutor, which is why he needed to be suspended. So I'm reading that as they genuinely don't believe there are any injustices. I don't know what's worse. What do you think is worse, Luke? To believe that there are injustices, but we want to sweep it under the rug, or to be head in the sand, there's nothing wrong with America, there are no injustices, stop bringing it up. I don't know what I would consider morally worse.
I think the first one's worse. Honestly, I think if you're saying, yes, I can identify the fact that there are problems, but I'm going to willingly ignore or actively fight addressing those problems.
Actively suppress the, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that one's worse than just acting like everything's perfect to begin with. So it's definitely a pretty interesting dynamic what's going down there in Florida. But DeSantis defining woke, even though... I don't think it puts him in that shiny of a light for his anti-wokeness with that woke definition. Folks,
at the national level, no, but people in Florida will love it.
Oh, yeah. People in Florida absolutely love it because that state has been going farther and farther to the right. And I have a feeling, though, those policies probably don't play as well nationally as DeSantis is hoping they may. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We are going to get to those phone lines when we come back from this break. But if you want to follow the show, you can do so on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can follow Civic Media there as well at Civic Media US. I'm joined by William Walter. Will, you got a handle you want to throw out there for the folks to follow you at?
Oh, yeah. Hit me up on Twitter. WillWalter93. Will with one L. WILWALTER93. It's always a party.
It is.
We know how it is. Yeah. I mean, usually we party when you're not here, Luke. I'm not supposed to tell you that because Evan and I keep it on the DL.
No wonder the lampshades are always flipped over when I get back. But I'm glad that you're joining me on this Monday afternoon. Like I said, we're going to get to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. When we get back, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. More headlines when we return. Back to Dueling Tangents. We got William Walter joining us this Monday afternoon. You can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Will, let's head over to those phone lines now. We got our friend
let's
Dick
do it.
In Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Well, I couldn't agree with you guys more that these incidents you bring up are definitely domestic terrorism. But over the weekend, I hate to even bring the guy up, but I'm going to. I kind of think where he's going now is a form of treason, domestic treason. Because when you swear an oath, when you take office in either the House or the Senate or as vice president or president, it's to the Constitution, is it not?
Mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah. Well, gee whiz. I mean, I understand your right to freedom of speech, but to me, what he said is catamount to yelling fire in a theater. This guy is, something's got to be done about this guy. This is just insanity.
And you're talking about the
and
former guy, correct?
Yes, and not anybody in the Republican Party condemning it.
Yeah, he former President Donald Trump called for the doing away with the Constitution, and apparently that, just like the right-wing hate extremism that is boiling up into domestic terrorism, is not going to be called out either.
So my question would be, if he were to get elected again, why even have the ceremony of, the whole thing? Because he's saying that we should just disband the thing. He didn't say suspend it. He said get rid of it.
Yeah, do away with. Yeah, I do not know what the political logic is there, Dick. He just wants power to – to me, it is because he is so damn scared of the criminal liability that he may face after skating it for decades. He is terrified now, and he knows the only way to avoid that is to have what the terrible Department of Justice legal memo is, that if you're a sitting president, you can't get indicted. You can't be held accountable.
That's what it is. He thinks the office of the presidency is his literal get-out-of-jail-free card.
I honestly think that if the guy's indicted, he would be a flight risk, don't you think?
Yeah, he'd be a flight risk. He'd be a mouthpiece to instigate more hate. We saw it on January 6th. There was domestic terrorism committed against the process of the peaceful transfer of power, and he's still not being fully held accountable for that. And so, yes, he may fly to another country, but I fear more, Dick, that he will continue to foment this political violence that we are seeing over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can find a country that take him and Putin and they can live their lives out together.
I don't know if he would necessarily flee to Putin, because I think all of his critics would pretty much say, we told you so, after all the Russia stuff and him vehemently denying it from 2016 and still to this day. So,
did you see Kevin McCarthy's tweet about how the day that the Republicans take the House back, they're going to sit on the House floor
and they're
going to
read
the
whole Constitution. Yep.
And then 2 days later, the leader of the party's like, nah, we should throw it all out.
Yeah,
it's overrated anyways. The founding fathers don't support that. They support me, Donald Trump.
We appreciate your call, Dick. The juxtaposition of those two comments, Kevin McCarthy trying to be the next Speaker of the House and the leading GOP presidential candidate for 2024, because that is what he is. He's the leading candidate for Republicans. You can have Republicans here in Wisconsin or around the country try to distance themselves from him, but right now, he's the leading candidate, and he probably will be until Republican primary voters start going to the caucuses and primaries in the beginning of 2024. So he's only going to continue to have he's only going to grow in strength as he tries to run again for another term as president, and continue to foment this rhetoric that is leading to right wing violence around the country. We're going to continue on over the phone lines. We got Catherine and Madison calling in as well. Catherine, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
Hi, Luke. I was calling about this whole thing with the term woke, and I think we should embrace it because the opposite of being woke is to be asleep, right? And I think that means the MAGAs are sleepwalkers because if they're not woke, they're asleep, but they're walking, right? I'm not going to call them zombies, but they're definitely not awake. So I just think we should just start referring to them as sleepwalkers.
All right, that's not a bad idea.
Turn the phrase on its head.
Yeah, well, and I think that goes to your point, Will, where it's more of they've just got their heads in the sands then. But I think the anti-woke movement is worse. I think they're acknowledging that there are injustices, and I think that they're trying to be anti-fixing those injustices. They benefit from those injustices, and so for those people that want to support a quote-unquote woke agenda, to fix the problems that they see in the country, I think if you're going to be anti that, that should be pointed out as well. But we appreciate your phone call, Catherine, because yeah, it's a pretty interesting dynamic right now with what's going on and how we're defining these terms: woke, domestic terrorism, and we've got now another interesting kind of paradox, Will, that's going on here in the state of Wisconsin, because one of the leading election deniers from 2020.
She's getting juicy, Luke.
She's going to now run for a Republican primary because she wants to seek higher office. And I'm talking about one state representative, Janelle Branchen, one of the leading election deniers from 2020 here in Wisconsin. She tried to throw out all these theories of a stolen election. She was appointed in 2020 after promoting those theories by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to still chair the Assembly Elections Committee. But she continued on with these crazy theories a little bit too long for Robin Voss and others in the Republican caucus in the state assembly. And so she got kicked out of a closed-door caucus meeting because she lost the trust of her fellow Republican lawmakers. And so now, Will, she's saying, well, the assembly be damned. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring for state senate. And so this goes on for the continuation of a story we were talking about last week when it comes to State Senator Alberta Darling, long time serving, longer than Will's lifetime serving in the state senate.
Yep.
Alberta Darling for that 8th state senate district retired last week, Thursday, December 1st. And so it's a Republican leaning district. Republicans definitely took away lots of portions of the blue trend the district was facing before 2020 in the latest round of redistricting. But it's going to be interesting because now there are 3 Republicans. So there's going to be a Republican primary on February 21st for this seat, Will. And I'm curious to know what you think. You think Branchen's got a shot at winning this whole thing?
Well, you know, this is my neck of the woods. Darling was my senator for quite literally my entire life. My assembly district representative, Dan Knodel, announced last week, as we discussed on the December 1st show. And Dan's a good little partisan party boy. They love him. They were clearly setting him up for this position. I think it's hilarious. I think it's absolutely hilarious that Branchen's willing to, you know, stick her neck out there, because that makes me sound like I'm like defending her actions. But the fact that she's like willing to tell the party, like, oh, you guys don't like me? Well, piss off. I don't like you either. I'm gonna run for this race too. Like, it's very Donald Trumpian, right? That he's kind of so petty and angry with the party and the system that they're willing to make the fight at the primary level. I find myself saying this. This is probably like the 15th time I've said this on the show, but it's the meme from the King Kong Godzilla movie where he's just standing there like, let them fight.
Oh, see,
I'm all for it.
I think this is more like Silent Bob just stepping on all the rakes in The Simpsons, where it's very much that Robin Voss is reaping what he sows, because he allowed the crazy election theories put out there by Michael Gableman, state assembly person Janelle Branchen, and others around the state. And this is the result. when she continued down that line to a point farther than Voss wanted, he tried to cut it off. He tried to hold her accountable, kicked her out of the caucus meeting, not because it was too crazy of ideas, but because she wouldn't fall in line with Robin Voss's caucus.
She also supported his primary opponent. Let's not forget that.
That's true. And so Robin Voss said, well, we're gonna kick you out of the closed door caucus meeting. And so Branchon had the opportunity with Senator Darlin retiring, and she's like, well, fine, I'm gonna run for this race, because there's probably gonna be a lot of money spent in this race. This seat, Will, is gonna determine
a supermajority seat.
Exactly. It is gonna determine whether or not Republicans receive a supermajority in the state Senate. It is a off-cycle election that is going to be happening this spring. There is a statewide race that is going to really juice, I think, turnout for both sides. And so it's going to make the typical spring election math a little bit trickier to predict with how important this seat is for the makeup of the state Senate and with that statewide race on the ballot as well. And so it's definitely going to be interesting. There's murmurs that there hasn't been any Democrats to announce yet for this seat. State Representative Deb Andraca said that she will not run. She's going to stay in her state assembly seat. She just ran twice. She got reelected in the last year. State assembly people have to run every 2 years. So she just got done with the second campaign in 2 years. She doesn't want to tack on a third one in 2.5 years. And so
the other two assembly candidates in this district are Branchon and Knodel, who exactly. have both already and they're, announced for this race.
They're jumping in the Republican primary. So it's definitely going to be a race to keep an eye on. And I have a feeling it could be a very interesting one, because if the trends continue that we're seeing, we got a new Wisconsin Democracy campaign story and report out today, Will, that shows the state of Wisconsin outside spending broke the previous record set this past November. So more and more money being spent in the state. I think we're going to see that for the state Supreme Court race. I think we're going to see it for this special election in the 8th state Senate district. Money's going to be pumped in, and
national money is going to be pumped in for this race. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the outside spending is going to be off the charts, I believe, for the Supreme Court race alone. And now you add in a state Senate seat that is going to determine the makeup of whether or not Republicans get a supermajority. And
I mean, did you see those numbers, Luke? That is absurd. Shattering the old record of outside spending by over 50%, $93 million spent by outside groups. The old record was 61.8.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
150% against outside spending records, increased by 150%. And I have a feeling, though, Will, that I think it's important to preface. Republicans are likely to hold this seat. This is absolutely a Republican lean district, the 8th state Senate district. But with all of the outside events that are going to go on, whether or not it's going to receive a viable Democratic candidate, because we do not know who this person or persons will be running on the Democratic side. We know that there's at least three Republicans. There's another non-elected Robert Albertson of Brown Deer is in the Republican primary as well, with Knodel and Branchon. But we don't know who's going to be on the Democratic side of the ticket, if there's going to be a Democratic primary or not yet. But with the outside attention, all bets are off, because it's going to be an important statewide race with the Supreme Court, where I have a feeling if trends continue from 14 to 18 to 2022 in this district, there could be some more movement that would make it less lean Republican, and outside spending is going to make a difference as well. So it's definitely a race to keep an eye on. It's
remember too, Luke, that none of those spending figures include spending for any of the federal races in the House or Senate.
Oh yeah, that was just the state of Wisconsin. That was the governor,
the state of Wisconsin,
and the state legislature. So if you want to tack on the U.S. Senate race from Ron Johnson and Mandela Barnes, I believe
most expensive in the nation.
Yep, and so there's a lot of money being spent here in the state of Wisconsin, and it's just going to continue to be a trend that we'll have to keep an eye on of what's going to go on, but State Assembly person Janelle Branchen announcing that she is getting into the Republican primary for the 8th State Senate District, kind of telling the Republican caucus, I'm going to go my own way and do my own thing. But she may be the underdog as well there, because I think Dan Cannota, like you said, has been kind of preparing for this. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. We got one segment left in the day. We're going to get to your phone calls next. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. I'm joined this afternoon by William Walter. Will, you had a little scare there for a second. Oh, as you fix your mic, man, we'll get you set up to join us for this last segment here. But folks, if you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Will, we got you now.
Are we good? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good. We can hear you, man.
My heart is racing, yeah.
We got to start a little GoFundMe or something for you to get a new laptop.
You're telling me, man.
But let's head over to those phone lines. We can squeeze in a couple more tangents here in this final segment of the day. We got Ross and Middleton calling in. Ross, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Luke and Will. My tangent is based on this conversation about, Darling's district. First of all, I just make a comment that I wish I would have traded my Bitcoin stock and bought it in political advertising based upon all the money that was spent. I could have made some money off that. But the thing about the Darling district is that the 8th district, I couldn't remember what you guys were saying. It's not my district. I'm from Madison, Middleton. And it's that with our gerrymandering, with this gerrymandering that we have all across the country, but especially here in Wisconsin, we end up allowing people like Branchen to become these viable candidates. It's like we create these sort of all Republican and all Democratic districts, and it just drives the conversation way out to the edges, you know. And then it becomes sort of times these national conversations, and then you get all this money coming in from all around the country, and you're spending all this money on these local elections. But I think at the same, it can hurt the Democrats too, because in certain Democratic districts, the conversation can kind of get pushed way out to the side. And the only other tangent I was going to say is that what might be interesting in these gerrymandered districts is the sort of the lesser of the two parties. So like in Darling's old district, you almost think that the Democrat who may run in that district could be what you would think of as a moderate. That is their most likely chance of winning is to try to snag some of those maybe moderate Republicans as well as all the Democrats. And so the only time I think you see a moderate in either party is in those districts that have been gerrymandered pretty badly.
Yeah, I believe moderates have really... there's not a whole lot of room for moderates in the way that these gerrymandered maps are, Ross, because... as you said, they're gerrymandered so bad both ways. I'm not saying that there's not moderates at all here in the state of Wisconsin, but they're far and few in between, because you can have somebody, there's no political consequences for going to the right in these or left. Exactly. In these districts, there are consequences. The only political consequences elected officials here in the state of Wisconsin face are from extremists from either side. And I think it's much more prevalent in Republican politics, because this past cycle is a good example. Robin Voss was challenged in his primary and only beat that challenge by about 325 votes. And then we saw in the general, there was not a candidate. He was unopposed in the general. There was nobody else actually on the ballot. Both the candidates trying to beat him were write-ins, which usually not an effective way to win. But there was no way for him, either of his opponents, even last cycle in 2020, when he did have a Democratic opponent on the ballot, he won handedly, because there's not any political consequences from the center all of the political consequences happen in primaries here in the state of Wisconsin with these gerrymandered maps.
And first past the post voting, Luke. That's how they do it.
Yeah. I mean, if we had ranked choice voting in some of these, in all of our districts across the state, but we still had this map, I think you could see instances like what's happening in Alaska, and it could go either way, where Mary Pertola won against Sarah Palin and another Republican because of ranked choice voting. More voters chose Pertola to over her Republican opponent. She was Democratic congresswoman now, but more chose her as their second choice in the of Republican voters choosing her over, say, Sarah Palin or the other alternative that she got first past the post. And we could see some really good election reforms if we took on things like ranked choice voting. But Robin Voss is never going to be the person to implement that plan. So if you want something like that, you got to be able to advocate for fair maps, which numerous counties around the state are doing, but they're not seeing that represented by the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. And then after fair maps,
you could, 80% of Wisconsinites support cannabis legalization, either medically or recreationally, and that has made no progress. So it really doesn't matter what the people think. Robin Voss has shown that. It's hilarious that that Robin Voss is considered a rhino now to so many of these people that they had to actually offer a primary challenger even further to the right. I mean, I don't know how you can compete with that. There's no moderates that are going to be exciting enough that some of these ultra conservative individuals who genuinely support the anti-democracy movement we're seeing amongst a lot of conservatives, well, they're never going to vote for someone like that. They're too lib, you know?
Yeah, it's I do not see something like that happening. I think the way that things get better politically here on the state level in Wisconsin is that these maps get taken up. Because we know from the 2011 maps that they were some of the worst gerrymandered maps in the nation, according to several different studies, including Harvard Law. And
a 3 out of 100 on the democracy scale.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible for democracy in the state of Wisconsin. And so the only way that some of these problems at the local level are going to get addressed and we get things like that the people want, like Medicaid expansion, Badger Care expansion, or cannabis legalization, or paid leave, or numerous different policy proposals, we need new maps. And so it'll be very interesting. Again, that's just going to lead to so much spotlight being put onto this state come next spring with the state Supreme Court race. And one of the ramifications of that as well is going to be an increased look at the special election in the state Senate's 8th state Senate district here in Wisconsin, in your neck of the woods, Will.
We've talked about it a lot, Luke, but I feel bad reiterating it because it's something the Democrats do every cycle, right? This is the most important election of your life until the next one. But this Supreme Court race, man, this might change the landscape of Wisconsin for the next 3-4 decades.
Yeah, so it's absolutely something that you have to be paying attention to, folks. I want to thank Will for joining me on this Monday afternoon. I want to thank Evan on the board, doing excellent work getting those ones and twos to go out over the airwaves across Civic Media. If you want to learn a little bit more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, go to civicmedia.us. You can see all the stations, all the programming. You can sign up to learn more and be first in the know for where a station may be popping up next near you. And if you miss any portion of the show, you can go check out the podcast page on civicmedia.us. Click on Dueling Tangents. Check out the podcast. Will, really appreciate you joining me on this Monday. Thank you so much. And we'll see everybody tomorrow at 2 p.m.
It's always a good time, Luke. Peace out, party people.